Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm really excited that you're here. I'm excited to be associated with these women here today. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'll first introduce myself, Lisa Valentine Clark. I love hosting the Council of Moms and the Lisa Show podcast. I am a mom of five kids of different ages from 15 to 25. And the stage of parenting that I'm in right now is one that I didn't really anticipate of the, you're kind of an empty nester, but kind of not. You still got a couple of kids at home and some are kind of coming and going, but most of them can just fend for themselves and need me less and less, but need me more in different ways, mostly money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Well said.
So this is the Council of Moms, where we get to know different moms and really answer your questions. Also here with me today, I have
Lindsay Clark. I have the great privilege of being Lisa Clark's sister-in-law. And so our husbands are brothers.
Yep.
And one is in heaven, one is here, yep. But they are brothers. And I love Lisa so much. I am the mother of seven children, ages 21 to 8. And yeah, I think I'm in that transition as well. My kids are all a little older and trying to figure out, they're great.
Oh, they're so great.
But trying to figure out life now without little ones around. And so, yeah, it's a journey. I'm hoping everyone will enlighten me today and I'll learn something new.
My name is Amy Sunderland. I have four kids between 4 and 14, so kind of all scattered. So, and I work in finance, really boring stuff, but, you know, just
important stuff.
But, yeah, I'm really honored to be on the show.
I'm Cassie Barger. I am a bonus mom and an adoptive mom. So our kids range from age almost 16, almost 12 to 2. So we kind of have a wide spectrum of age right now at our house. And then on top of that, I do content creation and social media. So it's fun.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad you guys are here. We asked our audience, what kind of questions do you have, you know, that you ask or maybe you don't ask, but kind of want to of your friends and those people close to you, and what are you worried about? And so this question came in from Zoe in Cooperstown, New York. And she said, I have a teenager who's a good kid, but I can see her making choices that I know she'll regret later. Some of them have to do with school, some of with the kinds of friends she has. And I won't necessarily go into detail, but I want to know, how much do I intervene? I don't want to be a helicopter mom who stops her kids from encountering any hardship, but I also hate to see my daughter have to go through pain that I maybe could have stopped from happening. How do you find that balance? That's a big question. Yeah. So what do we got for Zoe?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay, right off the top, it's hard because we don't know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
But I have been thinking about this lately. I think it's okay. I don't even dare say it, but I think it's okay to let kids fail.
Yeah.
And I think we are around and we're watching, we're making sure, the friends are good. But I think like school's a great place to let them fail a little. And it's so hard.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's so hard. We encourage them. We do what we can to help them. But, you know, if they don't turn in the paper, they get the bad grade. We let them fail and we let them learn in our house. If they have bad friends that they really don't want to give up, we talk to them about it. I don't think we say, absolutely not, you don't hang out with them. But I think you say, what is it you like about hanging out with this person?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Do they make you feel good? And just be curious and let them come to that conclusion on their own a little bit. I mean, a home needs to be a classroom. And so maybe let them fail a little and talk them through it, be by their side. But I wouldn't say you have to do this, this, and that. But really just be curious and be supportive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Easier said than done.
I like that. Yeah. And it's hard to know when, like what she's asking about the balance. How do you find the balance of when you intervene and when you don't? Well, it depends on the kid. And the older that I get and the more that I parent, the more hands off I get because I can see that my anxiousness in trying to like, well, you know, you got to get it. You can get an A on this and this is how you do it. Or you should hang out with these kind of people. You should do this. The that creates a unrealistic, not a really great relationship, you know, because who am I to know? Like, yeah, if I'm not curious about it, why do I think I know better?
Yeah, because maybe you will find something when you say, you know, why do you hang out with her? Or if I've noticed you've been really sad hanging out with this person. What's going on? And just letting them talk and keep kind of being curious. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that's great.
I love that. I absolutely agree. I think being a mom, rather than giving all the answers and give them all that, I think, you know, life is a lot of trials and errors and trying to figure that out. And I think kids are very resilient. They learn a lot more actually going through it than you're trying to tell them what to do. And especially I have a 14-year-old teenager and I've definitely learned not to tell him what to do. But yeah, more hard. As, you know, a safe place, a secure place. And I absolutely agree. It's not easy to find the balance. I will often, if I see my son doing something that I may not necessarily agree, and I try to maybe lay out different, you know, either consequences or examples that my personal life, and I kind of share, hey, like, I know if I did this, I chose this because of that, and just trying to lay them out. And I say, you have the choice, you know.
Yeah.
You're always given choice in life, and whatever choice may lead something different, and you know, you're old enough to kind of make that decision. I try to help guide them, but I just don't feel like it would backfire on me if I try to say, oh, mm-hmm. you cannot hang out with that friend anymore. Then yeah. It's like, well, are you trying to stop me from my friends and things like that? So I think it gets really complicated in that sense.
Yeah, but, like letting them choose more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just say, like, you know, this is could what happened, kind of lay them different, you know, options mm-hmm. and different
well,
things.
Well, we've all had that, like, where one of our kids' friends comes over and you're like, I don't like that punk.
Yeah.
Like, yes. yeah. I'm not the only one, right? They're right. like, yeah. they're no. rude, they're disrespectful, like whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say, yeah, you cannot hang out with that. Like,
yeah. Probably not going to work.
It's probably not going to work.
No, backfire.
It hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Actually, it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
I think a good thing, like you said, is kind of like, I love everything that you guys have said, but, is keeping it personal with them and making sure that they, you know, can come to you still. I keep saying to people that toddlers and teenagers are very similar in raising them. But I see my teenager in the same way, making, you know, certain choices or whatever. And I don't want to put up a wall with him.
Yeah.
And so, or even with my daughter. And I try very hard to try to bring them in with conversation. My mother-in-law used to make chocolate chip cookies for my husband to get him to talk when he was growing up. And that's kind of what we do at our house, just like put out cookies. So,
you want to chat about anything?
Yeah, you want to go get a drink, or you want to go for a ride or something? And,
yeah.
And let's talk. But you can never choose for your kids, you know, what friends they have.
And you can or if you did, then what does that teach them?
They're going to be like, whatever, see you later, mom. Like, yeah. I don't want to talk to you. And that puts up that barrier. But I think keeping it to having them have a choice is key. Letting
yeah.
them have that experience.
One thing that's not explicitly said in the question, but I feel like is implied, is like, what about when it gets, like, dangerous? Like when do you know? Like, because I can overreact, right, and think, well, I don't want you hanging out with that person. Or if you fail, then this will happen in that. I may or may not be right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when do you get involved? If it's like, you know, the teenager's a good kid, but making choices I know she'll regret. It's like, ooh, that's kind of different. Because a lot of times as parents— not because we're arrogant, but because we have more life experience and we've thought about this and our frontal lobes are totally developed, and, you know, our cognitive reasoning skills and risk assessment, we can see things that they can't see.
Right.
And that's a really frustrating part, I think, of saying, like, I'm not trying to do this to manipulate you or control you, but here's some other information that you should consider when knowing who to hang out with or how important school should be or whether to be involved in, like, risky behavior and stuff like that. Because it's all fine when it's like, oh, you know, a friend and then you have a fight or whatever, or you might, like, get a bad grade in one class. It's a totally different conversation if you're failing out of school or the law enforcement is involved. Like, you know, I mean, there is quite a wide range that she could be talking about.
Yeah.
So when it's a little bit more serious, how do you know how to intervene?
Yeah. I mean, physical danger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just thinking about, I've been lucky to not have anything too crazy yet. But there's like moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, that friend gossips a lot. Right? Like those things where you're like,
yeah.
Is this going to rub off? Like, but as far as danger, I know one of my kids was driving around a lot with someone who didn't have a license.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't do that. Like, we got to talk about this. This is what can happen. They're driving without a license. This is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And set those boundaries and talk to them about it. But again, like, it's so hard because I think just the conversations, like, hey, I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. This is what can happen. You know, like, do you feel good about that? Like, that's not, you can't do that. But why? Why is he doing this? Why is he driving without a license? I even talked to the kid about it. Not like, hey, come in. But it was like, hey, buddy. When are you going to get your license? What's going on? Right? I don't know. But
we have to remember, too, that our kids' friends look up to us as well because they don't just see us as like, hey, that's, you know, Andy's mom. Right? They see us as like somebody that they can trust if they come over to your house enough and see you as an example for that.
Yeah. You can have more influence than you can of like, hey, you know, what's going on? What are you worried about? What's happening?
Right.
Yeah, I think some kids do open up, I think, better to other parents than their own.
Right. And I think also, like, with your kids, you want to say, how does this make you feel? Like, not saying that they'll answer that, but, like, is this making you be a better person? Is this making you fulfill, like, yourself as a person? Like, do you feel like you're helping others and making yourself feel good when you're around this person? Or is it making you feel like, you know, not the best. That's what we've had to do before. We're like, so this person is not, you know, rubbing you in the direction the right way. And so we had to say, hey, look, like, maybe let's not hang out with them for a little while. Not because they as a person are horrible, but they're not just making the best choices. So.
Yeah, and I think it's very situation dependent, you know, from reading kind of the words, say, hey, if I think he's a pretty good kid or she's a pretty good kid, then I usually kind of start with a little bit more leniency. And obviously, if there's like a physical danger, then I will probably step in a little bit with my mom hat more so than my friend hat, you know.
Oh,
so I think if it's kind of just the emotional things that happen, and I kind of say, hey, like, you know, when you get either into the workforce, you get older, you're going to have to be dealing with that a lot more, right? That's there are people that nice to you, there are people not nice to you, and there are people that will hurt you or not hurt you. So you're going to have to try to deal. So I think I will kind of let them figure that out.
Yeah.
But if it's a physical danger, a law force involvement, then we'll definitely talk. I was talking to my mother-in-law. She raised, you know, four boys and a girl, and they're always pulling pranks and stuff like that, you know. Oh, so law enforcement sometimes get involved through those. But, you know, for the most part, I think as long as you're not, you know, going to danger and hurt somebody physically or doing something, I think it's great to let our kids really experiencing that part early. And especially when you say he's a good kid, you know. Now, if you say, oh, he struggled or she struggled or, you know, really tough relationship, then I think you might have to step in a little bit more as a parent role rather than.
I try to sometimes do, I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not, but like sort of, I just love like a good, like, well, you know what I heard one time, like scare my kids straight. Like they were a good kid and they were just there in the car. And then these kids did this and then they were all charged with a felony. Yes. You know, like I do tell them those story. I do. I don't know if that's the right thing or not. But the same thing like with phones and like kids can forward you things. And if you accept it and you have it on your phone, you can be charged with certain crimes, even if you weren't the first one to receive the photo or whatever. Like, I hate that I have to tell my kids, but I say, that's the law. Like, there's nothing that you could do. You would be registered like this and did it. And they're like, wait, what? I just want them to, I just want them to know that I'm not just worried like because I come up with all these scenarios, but because we live in a different world than we grew up in. Mm-hmm. And it's changing so quickly that it has different consequences. I mean, I didn't have a cell phone when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. We didn't take dumb videos and pictures of all the stupid stuff we did or whatever. And it coming up with those kinds of scenarios, I feel like, is just my way to just sort of say, before it happens or just in context, like, hey, just so you know, some of these things are a lot more serious than maybe you think they are. Mm-hmm. Just consider it.
Yeah. I absolutely think that's true. And just to educate your child, because they might not know all things are changing.
It's such a slippery
slope. And they don't know, like,
a
video we did at, you know, our friend's house was meant for our friends and all of a sudden gets on him. Like, there has been a lot of examples.
And it's there forever.
Yeah.
And when you go apply for a
college,
job, they're going to Google you and that video is going to pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those.
Is that what you want?
You're right.
To see?
It never
I'm
happened
the worst.
At our age, right? So it was interesting. My son, I try to keep the no phone policy. So he hasn't had a phone. He's just turned 14, going to high school. Mm-hmm. at his other school in junior high, you know, he was only one of the only child that didn't have a phone. He's mm-hmm. like, Mom, I want a phone every few time. And he's like, everybody has this. Like, you know, there's a few billion people in Africa and China, and those my village, remember? Yeah. They don't have phones, so you're not the only one. And it was kind of nice to keep that. And now I had to give him a phone because high school kind of required it in a sense. But he doesn't use it the same way. And I feel like okay. probably because, you know, in middle school is a really challenge time. My girls at 10 been asking for it every day. I was like, you won't be getting it, you know, until school requires. Because psychologically, they're just not quite ready mm-hmm. to. They won't be aware of all the things. The consequence. What is the consequence if you sent a picture or something you said that you thought was funny?
Yeah.
That you thought was a joke, but it wasn't really a joke to the person mm-hmm. that you're making fun of.
There's just so many different scenarios.
How that impacts. Yeah. So I do think education is, for me, is all about that. Just, you know, it's not really... I'm not butting into my child's life. I'm just educating you, you know. If you decide this is still what you want to do, it's a stupid decision, but
yeah.
I just want you to know these are the consequences, you know. So just really, really letting them know what they could get into and what that really means. I think I actually do it to my kids all the time, and I scare them all the time. So
we're all going to sit down as a family and watch Dateline NBC.
They're going to see. But you do have to be so much more specific these days.
You do.
And maybe, I don't know, I feel like you do. There's so many things that as my kids have, you know, kind of had these experiences, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of that. That wasn't even on my radar. I can think of like 10 things right now. Where now with my, you know, next kids, I'm like, you will not do this. This can happen. You will not do this. Mm-hmm. And so maybe like for this question, I don't know if that helps, but just being very specific on like,
where the boundaries are.
Where the boundaries are.
Where the rules are.
And then kind of let them figure that out.
Yeah. I like that. And also being able to change your mind about the boundaries, you know?
Yeah.
Of what will happen and stuff. Because I was the same way. And I gave my oldest, like, cell phone too early, then took it away, and then waited for the other ones. And the other ones were like, well, hey, that's mm-hmm. not fair. And I was like, yeah, it is not fair. But I have been presented with new information.
Yeah.
So I changed my mind, you know, and being able to like explain that, I think is totally mm-hmm. correct. And, you know, in this question, I love that. I think the real question is this underlying, like, I don't want her to make these mistakes. Like, I want to save my kids this heartache. And I think we can all relate to that, no matter what kind of kids we have, what kind of friends they have. Like, you kind of want to, and you know you can't at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so what kind of like advice or support would you give to the mom who's coming from a place of like, I want to save them from this heartache, like, but knowing that you can't with everything, but maybe on some things?
I think just changing that thought in your head, you're not going to save them. Instead, think, how can I be there for them mm-hmm. while they go through this, while they make bad choices?
That they would want to come to you.
Right. That they'll want to come to me. What can I do to make sure they want to come to me when they make bad friends? Because mm-hmm. they will. Everyone makes a bad friend here and there.
Yeah. And we probably all made them.
We did.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
we made some mistakes.
And that's okay. Yeah. And it's just like having say, you can always come back here. Like there's always a home. There's always love there. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are. And it's having just kind of that safety net. I kind of feel like my kid's going to fall a lot throughout mm-hmm. their life. I want to be a net them, but I'm probably not going to be someone who says, don't ever fall, because that's not life.
Yeah.
But I'll be there
because
to catch
you. Because
I'm
not going to want to hide that. Like, don't tell that mom that I failed because she warned me this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I worry about that.
Yeah. And it's never that I told you so.
Never.
It's
more, you don't feel that.
We all know we may make mistakes. The last thing we need someone to say, well, I told you that. You know, it's like, I know, you're right, I know. Mm-hmm. But it's more about, like, what can we do from here and now? You know, what can we make it better? Mm-hmm. You know, and I often share my personal experience with them and say, hey, I made this mistake. And, you know, my parents told me not to do it, but I just did it anyways because I was a teenager, just like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I regret it like 15 years later, but like,
just
you
be
know,
real,
and that's okay.
It.
And so just learning them that they're okay to be human, that they're going to go through this.
And you're here
yeah.
to help them as they make mistakes, because they will. It's just normal.
We all do. And I even tell mistakes we make today. You know, I still make plenty. It's like,
but how often do we like try to cover it up because we want to be seen as the authority? Instead of like, I don't know, I just got really tired and just like just decided to lay all my cards out on the table. Like, oh, I should not have done that. And here we are.
I think it's important to let our kids know that we make mistakes as well, and we can apologize ourselves. And that's something we're really big on, is that if we've done something that to hurt their feelings, is that we say, you know, I was in the wrong at this, and we say sorry. And it makes them see us as humans, not just as these, like, people that are above them, you know, is making it on that same platform that way. And not saying that we don't make rules and they can't follow them, but, like, just showing that side of us that—
Yeah, because I think the tendency is that some people listen or— And think, but you've just, you just tell them how it is.
Yeah.
Like, just that's, it's that simple. But I have not found it to be that simple.
This is how it is.
They just get better at hiding it, I think, and hiding who they really are to you.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
And that's a problem.
We don't want them to hide who they are. If the expectations are unrealistic, they're not going to come to you.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, we're running out of time for this particular question, but I'd love to give you all a chance just at the very end, just to leave your final, like, words of support for our caller inner from Zoe, who just wants to find that balance. What's between, you know, kind of controlling and then letting them make their own decisions? What's your best advice?
I mean, I think what we've been saying, I would just emphasize that, take the emphasis off of I'm worried about them with school, I'm worried about them with friends, and make it on how can I be a place for them to come to me, because they're going to make mistakes, they're going to fail, and the best place to fail is in the home with parents who love you and can help you, and to be okay with that, to let go a little bit. I think it takes the pressure off of it. It's like a relief to you, of like, okay, they're going to make mistakes. All I have to do is be there for them. That's it. I just have to be there for them. Just listen. Just be curious. I don't know. Easier said than done.
But great, great approach to balance.
Yeah. And just, I think, on kind of that same line is that, you know, don't put so much pressure on yourself as a mom. You know, don't say, oh, I'm a bad mom because my daughter or son had to go through this. It was my fault. Yeah. You know, I feel like oftentimes parents do feel that. It's like, oh, they made these mistakes. If I could have been there, I could have done this. It's like, no, you know, your job as a mom is to nurture, to help them grow, but it's okay. And you're not a bad mom just because, you know, your kids took a different, made a different decision. And hope, what you hope from that is that they learn a lot more from that, and then they'll come to you in the future. And because in their heart, they might know, you know what? Whatever my mom told me a year ago, she was right about it. And then maybe on the next decision that you hope that she'll come to you again and respect. Because sometimes you might need that little nudge to kind of prove you're right through what they experience, rather than just me telling you all the time, right? Because I think I've read a lot of these parenting books or advice that one of the best ones is like, you know, how to apologize to your children, how to say sorry, and how to let them know that, you know, when your mom's wrong, you will say sorry, because it's hard. You know, I am authority to my children, and I don't want to do that. But sometimes it's okay for your kids. You know, I have a four-year-old that refuses to say sorry. And I got to show her that it's okay for me to say sorry, too. You know, I must not notice that or must, you know, mistaken that. And that's okay. So it's really having that is very important. And being a mom, I think you do the best you can. So, and your kids will appreciate you for that.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that kids and people make mistakes, and I think that we need to allow our kids to make mistakes and be okay with them making mistakes as well, especially as they get older. They're going to decide to leave the nest at some point, and we have to be okay with that decision. And sometimes those decisions are going to lead them down paths that we may not like, and it may not be great. But we just have to kind of step back and, like Lindsay said, is just be there for them and make sure that they have a place to come and land softly instead of in somebody else's place, you know? Because there's so many other people that just want to take your child in and create whatever they, you know, want for them and help them. But you want them to come to you. And so to be able to do that, just be able, like we've said, be able to apologize, have a soft landing, and know that they're loved. That's really what it is. It's as long as they know they're loved, then it'll be okay.
And that's our job. You know, our job isn't to fix it all or tell them how, you know, to make decisions, or they're not our robots that we can program, unfortunately. <John. laughs> I mean, fortunately, this is great. But yeah, knowing that we're there for them, this is so great. And it doesn't hurt to have other moms in our corners reminding us of these things too, right?
When
our
reminded.
Kids don't have the words for it as well, to be like, no, this is... Yeah. This isn't your fault, or this isn't your job. Their job is this. This is, you know, reminding you of that, I think, has been very helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being part of this on the Council of Moms. Yeah.